It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, as part of our ongoing conversations about the effects of homelessness in Wisconsin, we examine healthcare access and programs to serve people who have a history of mental illness. You can be part of this discussion. Call in with a question. You can share what's on your mind at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ashley Wisniewski is Homeless Services Director for Outreach Community Health Center serving the greater Milwaukee area. Ashley, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. And Jen Patridge is here, Coordinator for Community Recovery and Community Support Programs and Contract Administrator for the PATH program that's part of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Jen, welcome.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having us today.
Yes, Jen, Wisconsin, part of this federal grant called Projects for Assistance in Transition from Homelessness, that goes by the acronym PATH. How does the PATH program support Wisconsin's homeless population?
All right. So the PATH program, it supports the delivery of services on a community level and provides resources to people who have serious mental illness, who may also have a co-occurring substance use disorder, and they're homeless or they're at imminent risk to become homeless.
How do you get clients? How do you people become involved in this type of intervention and outreach program?
This is Ashley.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to take this one.
Okay, Ashley, go ahead.
So I oversee the PATH program in Milwaukee. So what we do is we have outreach workers that are boots on the ground. They go out into the community. They go into encampments and places that are reported to have the homeless population. And they physically seek out individuals experiencing homelessness. So that includes the encampments, under the bridges, meal sites, and shelters. So what our role and responsibility is seeking out these individuals and hooking them up to auxiliary services such as primary care, mental health, benefits acquisition, and of course, housing.
And Ashley, you know, the case managers who are reaching out, how long would someone who is experiencing homelessness, how long would they be in the PATH program?
So PATH is meant to be short term. We like to say 6 months. However, depending on the housing process, which does take time, we stick with these individuals until they obtain housing. But the goal is to link these individuals with long-term case management that's going to follow them for years to come. So we have the ability to do referrals to link them to the long-term case management.
And Jen, you know, just for our understanding here with the PATH program, how is funding? How much money does the statewide program use annually?
Right. So we have a budget of $891,000. And we receive, the state of Wisconsin receives $836,000 from SAMHSA, which is the grant that we receive, and SAMHSA is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And so the state also offers a portion of $55,299. And that money is allocated to 8 PATH agencies across the state of Wisconsin. So we have a 5-year contract with those 8 agencies. And we have to do a reapplication at the state level every year on an annual basis to SAMHSA.
We're talking about healthcare for people experiencing homelessness. Jen Patridge works with Wisconsin's Projects for Assistance in Transition from Homelessness, or PATH. And Ashley Wisniewski leads homeless services with the Outreach Community Health Centers in Milwaukee. You can join in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Ashley, you lead services for homeless people through Outreach Community Health Centers. What types of healthcare services do people at these centers need?
I'm so happy you asked this. I'm going to veer for a second because Outreach Community Health Centers also has a clinic. So we have the really special ability to basically walk somebody to a walk-in appointment. So we see a lot of individuals that have primary care needs. They might not have had a physical for 17 years. We see individuals that are interested in re-engaging in behavioral health. We see individuals that might need dental care, and we actually have a mobile van that goes from shelter to shelter every Wednesday. So we bring health care to the individuals experiencing homelessness.
In terms of that mobile van and bringing the healthcare to individuals, do you find that that direct connection is helping to get the healthcare services that are needed for people in the situation?
Sometimes it depends on the situation. So I think of an appointment where someone was actively having a heart attack and they didn't know what was going on. We had a physician on board who knew exactly what was going on and was able to call an ambulance and get the person the care that they needed. What we would like to see eventually is we're just getting this off the ground. So last year was the first year it physically went out into the community. So we. I wouldn't say that it meets every single need. I would say that we would really like to see some mental health professionals on board.
Let's take a call now. Rich is joining us from Rhinelander. Rich, hi. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm listening to the program and really appreciating it. Thank you for having it. My concern is I can think of no surer way of causing mental illness in either a family system or an individual than their becoming homeless. And so the combination of talking about homelessness as linked to mental illness, I want that addressed because I'm a very elderly man. I have over my lifetime met a lot of families and a lot of people, and I have never met a single person in my life who did not have some episode or circumstance, whether it was substance abuse or developing hostility towards a supervisor at work or whatever, that was in some way not linked to the possibility of becoming totally economically dependent on others. I think there's a causal relationship between homelessness and developing mental illness.
Rich, let's explore that. Jen, can you feel that as you coordinate programs for adults who are living with serious mental health challenges?
Sure, there's a number of complexities. Individuals experiencing homelessness, I mean, not everyone has a mental health and/or substance use disorder. But there's just a lot of community-based complexities, such as like access to services. Also, affordable housing is a big issue, and having people find affordable housing. Also, when you're looking at like income-based or subsidized housing too, there's the wait lists that are out there, and it's just difficult, to access. So not everyone has that diagnosis of a mental health diagnosis or substance use diagnosis, but also just the accessibility. Now, the PATH program specifically works with individuals who do have the mental health or substance use diagnosis.
Ashley, what comes up for you as Rich connects mental illness and the crisis of homelessness?
So I'll start with saying being homeless is traumatic in itself. So it's kind of like the chicken or the egg debate. We do see a lot of individuals with severe and persistent mental illness, but some of it is the causation would be being homeless because when you think about it, you have to protect yourself. You have to find your food. You have to find something to wear. You have to find a place to charge your cell phone. So that in itself, we look at as like a separate trauma, the homelessness. I wouldn't say that everyone with a severe and persistent mental illness ends up in our PATH program that is experiencing homeless, but we talk about a lot on the team. As a team, we can all be one paycheck away from homelessness, and we don't keep that out of our minds.
Ashley Wisniewski is Homeless Services Director at Outreach Community Health Centers in the Milwaukee area. Jen Patridge with us coordinates programs at the State Department of Health Services, focusing on adults who are living with serious mental health challenges. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine the health effects of homelessness here in Wisconsin and efforts to improve access to care. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jen Patridge is with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, coordinating programs for adults living with serious mental illness. And Ashley Wisniewski heads up homeless services at Outreach Community Health Centers, providing health care in the Milwaukee area. Ashley, your outreach center in Milwaukee recently opened in addition to the clinic on the city's north side. How is the clinic addition improving its support for the homeless population?
So historically, social services and homeless services, any sort of case management was at 711 West Capitol Drive. And the clinic was at 210 West Capitol Drive. So if someone came into the 711 clinic and needed health care, say we were working with someone that was a walk-in, because a lot of people know about our agencies, so we have individuals experiencing homelessness that just come right to the building. It used to be a little bit more difficult to coordinate services. Now the 7-Eleven building has moved and is attached to the 210 clinic. So we can literally have a walk-in. We can assess them for PATH. And if they need primary care or a walk-in service, we can walk them right over to the 210 building.
All under,
so it's more.
Yeah, all in one place, it sounds like.
Yep. Yep. So it's really seamless. And it just, in all honesty, it makes more sense to have all of those services under one roof.
You know, Jen, homelessness creates new health problems. It worsens existing ones. And that's from the National Healthcare for the Homeless Council. What type of support do your agencies need to continue this work statewide?
I think, you know, the additional support, it really is for agencies. I think it's like additional community resources. You know, again, I was talking about just like affordable housing, for example. I think if individuals have more access to affordable housing, I think that overall is of great benefit, you know, to communities.
And so you really see the affordable housing piece as a really important central piece in order to be able to, you know, break the cycle of homelessness.
I think, you know, and homelessness is again, you know, a complex issue. I think along with affordable housing, it's access to mental health and substance use treatment. Also, I think it's just, you know, overall access to healthcare. So I think there's a number of pieces that are needed within our communities to address, you know, homelessness.
Ashley, you know, you see mental illness as a persistent issue and something that your clinics are trying to address for unsheltered people who are seeking housing programs. Can you explain the connection there with housing and getting help for mental illness?
Sure. So we want to have individuals, when they get into housing, we want them to be able to maintain that housing. So when they're working with PATH, we're of course looking for medication management, we're looking for behavioral health, we're looking for long-term case management so that they can keep their unit. Individuals that go into housing sometimes have case managers that are on site that can actually deal with mental health crisis right on the spot. So what we try to do in PATH is address all of these needs before they go into housing so that it's not a deterrent to housing. Because the fastest way basically that we see individuals losing housing is the severe and persistent mental illness and the behaviors that might come with it, as well as AODA use.
The homeless population is growing older, and that's according to Carly Sobey, who leads homeless services for Catholic Charities in Madison. And Sobey says the facility sees about 250 people a day.
About 20% or more of our population is over 55. Our oldest guest is in his 90s. And so with that is mobility issues, healthcare, getting to their medical appointments.
And so, Ashley, we hear Carly Sobey mention mobility and transportation difficulties. How should Wisconsin hospitals and clinics support the aging homeless population?
So they actually do. A majority of the hospitals have my contact information or my team's contact information where they can do direct PATH referrals to us and just email them. We do transportation, PATH, and I also oversee street outreach. So, and we also educate individuals on calling the number on the back of their Title 19 card and able and help them get to their appointments, their tra getting transportation to their appointments. We also offer bus tickets, and then there's special shelters that cater to individuals that have higher needs.
Talking with Ashley Wisniewski, leads homeless services with the Outreach Community Health Centers in Milwaukee. And Jen Patridge works with Wisconsin's Projects for Assistance in Transition from Homelessness at the State Department of Health Services. Call in with a question or comments, 800-642-1234. Jen, you talk with the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration about federal grants to support homeless people living in Wisconsin. How are federal dollars supporting the misuse of drugs or alcohol for people who are experiencing homelessness?
There are a number of programs within our Department of Health Services and our Substance Use section that provide funding to community partners and county partners. So funding can go directly to, as I said, community partners and county partners. Each county is unique in working with the people experiencing homelessness. And so with that money being allocated to on the local level, agencies are able to use funding to meet the needs within their community and county.
How do you approach this, Ashley, at your clinics and the centers, amid an opioid crisis and helping people through substance use and abuse?
So we have multiple ways to help. We have substance abuse groups. I know that our PATH program, we also we offer sometimes rides to like NA meetings and AA meetings. We have all of those lists. But one of the coolest things we have is in our pharmacy department, we have a vending machine. It has Narcan, it has fentanyl testing strips. It has rescue masks for individuals that aren't comfortable with doing mouth to mouth. So, and it's free. So you can literally just hit A7 and get Narcan. And then we also offer Vivitrol, which is something that is a preventative for opioid use. So it lasts about a month in your system. And then you come back in and you would get it's in a shot form.
Well, Ashley and Jen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate, for
Thanks
having
for
us.
having us.
Jen Patridge is coordinator for community recovery and community support programs, contract administrator for the PATH program at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Ashley Wisniewski is director of homeless services at the Outreach Community Health Centers in Greater Milwaukee area. And there's more conversation ahead on resources, plans to reduce housing insecurity. We learn about efforts in La Crosse. Call in with a question or comments at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The city of La Crosse and the county, they're working on a five-year plan that aims to provide long-term sustainable solutions to homelessness. We examine aspects of the plan that's taking shape and their vision for what they refer to as functional zero homelessness. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Brian Sampson is Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse. Brian, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Last week, La Crosse County received $275,000 in funding to support projects connected to city housing. What type of housing will this funding create?
So I can't speak to the specifics of that funding source. I know just in general in our community, housing is a big need, and that correlates directly to our issue with homelessness. When you look in La Crosse and across the country, the communities that are struggling the most with homelessness are those areas that have the least available and affordable housing. So really when it comes to that funding and all funding sources, any dollar that our community can get to help build up more housing and especially affordable housing, the better that it will be for addressing this issue of homelessness and just the overall health of our community.
Do you find that those funds flow from federal or state sources? Are you having to really look locally? How do you put this together?
Yeah, that's one of the toughest pieces, and that's something that the city and the county are hoping to tackle. Like you had mentioned, we are working on developing a five-year plan to end homelessness in our community and partnering with a lot of different groups. And a big part of that will be the funding aspect, not just for housing units, but for keeping people out of homelessness, for helping support people once they get back into housing for all levels. And the funding is tough because you really are looking for that sustainable funding, right? You don't just want one-time influxes. Those are helpful. And we want to help people get into housing and stay in housing. And so really looking at communities across the nation that have had success, and what we're trying to replicate is looking at a lot of different funding streams, whether that be federal, state, city, county, private, you know, all of the above. It really takes all of the funding sources and coordinating those in an effective way to address the issue.
Because that ties directly to what you can put together in a five-year plan. And I want to get to that plan in just a moment, but I first want to look at the situation about the closure of the homeless encampment in La Crosse. The city-issued closure is causing unhoused people to be living all over the city. Could people experiencing homelessness in or near La Crosse afford new units being built through state funding grants? Or where are the opportunities to create permanent housing for these people?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is really a question that our community has been trying to answer and is working on answering. Because of the shortage of available housing in La Crosse, and really this, I mean, this isn't unique to La Crosse, but when there's a lack of housing, then rents are high, and then that makes it hard for people to afford it, or people are just one mistake away or one emergency away from losing their job or losing their housing, and then that can spiral. And so really, I think looking at we're in multiple places. It's not just going to be one building. You know, it's not just going to be buying an old big box store and housing a lot of people in there. It's really going to be multiple locations and places. We actually have a housing project that's getting started in 2024 that I believe is around like 60 total units, and it's mixed income. So there'll be some fair market rate, there'll be some below market rate, and then there'll also actually be about 10 to 15 units that are set aside for people experiencing homelessness. And so those kind of creative housing projects have had a lot of success in many communities across our country, and that's the first kind of project like that that'll be in La Crosse that I'm aware of. And so I think that's a good example of really mixing it up and trying to come up with creative solutions, so that way we can create that's the 60 additional housing units that'll be helpful for the entire community.
Jean called from Columbus to say that they are right now on their way to visit a relative who lost housing after being homeless. And now that relative is in jail and is wondering, is this common in your area? What can a family member do to support someone who is in jail after being homeless?
Yeah, it's really tough, because when you are sleeping outdoors, you might be put in a lot of difficult situations where you have to make tough choices. The trauma that people experience as well through sleeping outdoors and in various things like that. I think that's really tough because each person is in their own unique situation, and family members want to support their loved ones, and sometimes that also burns bridges. You know, they sometimes can be overwhelmed doing the same thing over and over and not seeing the changes that they think they should be seeing from their family members. So that's a tough part. And I really think it comes down to the entire community. How can we build that support system out, not just with family members, but with others as well? How can we support each other? It's really, I think, a tough question to answer because everybody's situation is so different. But I think going back to that old adage of it takes a village to raise a child, but it also takes a village to continue to support one another when we are adults and when we are in the community, and trying to figure out a way that we can better rally together to be on the same team, so to speak, instead of always trying to be pitted against one another.
Brian Sampson is La Crosse's homeless services coordinator as we look at ways that the city and county is working on this issue. You can join in with your questions, your comments, 800-642-1234. Brian, as you pay attention to the funding streams, shared revenue has had the spotlight this summer. The state legislature approved an additional $275 million in support to local governments. Does the La Crosse region plan to use the additional, shared revenue funding toward helping people without homes?
The city is still finalizing their budget process and figuring out what that looks like. I know that we've had to make several difficult cuts, including for the upcoming for 2024. And so I think that's still a battle that La Crosse is struggling with, of how to balance all of that and where to put that money, if additional funds do come in, and really what's the best way to invest in your community. Because at some point, you need to invest in services that are going to be upstream, right, and build up communities instead of being reactive to the crisis or emergency. So as far as the funding, I know that recently our city went through our budget process, and there are some really tough decisions that were made, and they're still finalizing how all of that will work and where they want to prioritize funding in the future.
Let's turn to this 5-year plan under development with City of La Crosse and the county to try to end homelessness. Why does the region need 5 years, a 5-year plan to implement?
Actually, 5 years is pretty aggressive timeline. We didn't get to this situation in 5 years. This took years to build up. You know, it wasn't like 5 years ago there was no homelessness in La Crosse. And so 5 years is actually a pretty aggressive timeline. When you're asking about the funding streams and housing, really housing and supportive services together, whether that be alcohol and drug counseling, whether that be different treatment, mental health, job training. You know, those kind of things take time to build up and to scale to the need in your community. And so it's not like we can say, oh, we need 100 more houses. Let's build those by September of 2024. There's a lot that goes into that. So 5 years really is us trying to be aggressive and trying to address the issue in a timely fashion, because our community has done a lot of short-term planning in the past, and we've never been able to roll those short-term plans into long-term effects. And so then we're stuck every season or leading into every winter, scrambling again in crisis, figuring out, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do this winter? And we really need to end that thinking and transition to those long-term, permanent and sustainable solutions. And those take time to create, but then they also take time to implement. And so that's why we're looking at the 5 years.
You use the term functional zero, and I'm wondering if you can explain it for us and how it would affect housing insecurity in La Crosse.
Yeah, so functional zero, I mean, basically eliminating homelessness completely is the goal, and is that a realistic goal? So functional zero really kind of sets the bar to an obtainable measure, meaning that your community is either housing more people or the same amount of people that are coming into homelessness every month. So if you have 10 people who lose their housing in October, you're housing 10 or more people in that same month. And so that's really what functional zero is about, is you try to keep everybody out of homelessness, but if somebody does slip through the cracks, their experience is rare, it's brief, and it only happens once. They're not going back and forth between housing and homelessness. And so really the goal of that is kind of like a 30-day mark of if someone experiences homelessness, they get back into housing within 30 days and they don't have to sleep outside. There are shelter options or different places like that. So that's the meaning behind functional zero, of figuring out how can we get more people into housing every month than people who are coming into our homelessness response system.
And what is the timeline here? When do you expect to launch this 5-year plan?
Our goal, so we announced, the City of La Crosse and County of La Crosse announced our partnership in June, and we had shared then that our goal is to have a finalized plan in front of the mayor and county administrator by the end of 2023 and then begin implementing in 2024. And so far we are on track with that timeline. So that's still our goal. And again, that's a very aggressive timeline as well. So that's still our goal, is to have the plan finalized by the end of this year, so that way we can get going right away with starting to implement some of the solutions. We're not anticipating that every solution is going to be a huge housing project here or a big housing project there, but how can we improve on the margins and start that right away in 2024?
Brian Sampson is Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse as we examine efforts in the Cooley region to create permanent housing and wraparound services for people who are unsheltered. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As La Crosse develops a 5-year plan to address homelessness and creates new systems with different agencies and service providers, we learn from this model with Brian Sampson, Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse. And you can be part of the discussion at any point. Call in with a question. Share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brian, we heard from Lisa in Oconomowoc call in to say that they work for a homeless shelter in Waukesha County and wonders to what extent has La Crosse worked with surrounding counties for this plan, including Waukesha?
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now, our focus has been, so I'm employed by the City of La Crosse as their homeless services coordinator. So that's really my scope. We're partnering with the County of La Crosse. We understand that homelessness doesn't just exist in one community and not others, or that the boundaries are hard and fast. So really what we're doing is we're starting this planning process with the City of La Crosse just as a starting point, because we are in such a crisis situation that we need to do something. And then after it built, or after it's implemented, or the plan is created, then we really, or as we're doing that, we can really look to see how we can partner with our neighboring communities, and how that can look. So that's really something that we have yet to talk more in depth about, just solely because in our area, the biggest concentration or highest concentration of people who are struggling with homelessness are in the city of La Crosse. And so we're really just using this as a starting point to then be able to expand and build out.
At the same time, though, your five-year plan involves integrating agencies and teams to coordinate services, you know, who are outside the scope maybe of your city offices. How are you putting those systems together for the plan?
Yeah, so as part of our plan, we have what's called a stakeholder engagement blueprint, and that details out, I believe it's 10 or 12 different kind of groups, such as like city and county services, faith organizations, businesses, different things like that. So 10 or 12 groups that we want to hit and involve in the planning process in one way or another. But then in more depth is where we're reaching out to those organizations and nonprofits who implement the services for people experiencing homelessness. So this plan is by no means saying that the city and the county are all of a sudden going to do all of the homelessness response services in our community. All we want to do is coordinate it and look at the whole system to make sure that we're paying attention to how it's functioning as a whole. And so it's really important. We have a lot of good work happening in our community from these different agencies, and we want to continue that good work and build upon it and then also identify where the gaps are. So we're going through a process with them where at the end of September, we met with, I think there were about probably 40 agencies in a series of three different meetings to talk about what is our current homelessness response system look like in La Crosse. We're meeting with them again next week to talk about, all right, we know what it looks like, but what do we want it to be, or where do we want it to get to? So what are the, if we had a magic wand, so to speak, what do we want our homelessness system to look like? And then we'll meet with them again at the end of November and say, all right, we know where we are, we know where we want to be. Now, how do we get there? What are those action steps that we need to put into the plan? So that's how we're partnering with the organizations, of trying to leverage their expertise and in a really our community as a whole, trying to leverage everyone's expertise into what kind of action steps and strategies do we need to be a part of the final plan.
40 different agencies pulling everyone together. Is it difficult to get the buy-in on the plan from outside city and county government?
I think the buy-in is really going to be earned through action. Our community has done a lot of planning, and we shouldn't expect that our community will continue just to trust us by us saying, oh, we have a plan. Really, that buy-in, I think, is going to come through action and through showing that we are making progress. And so I think we have a good start. We've been overwhelmed by our community's response. There's, in La Crosse, there's really a great will to address this issue. I think that's one of our strengths, is our community has that will to change and address the issue. And so I think we have a good start with the buy-in, and you can't just rely on that moving forward. We have to continue to prove that and to earn it as well as we move forward through the process. But then especially when we begin implementing it, is that's really when we need to show that our community has what it takes to address this issue.
We're discussing a new plan to address homelessness in La Crosse. Brian Sampson with us, the city's homeless services coordinator. You can join in with your question, your comments at 800-642-1234. Jane in Suamico is here. Jane, hi, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Could your guest please speak to zoning and development? It seems like there's such a conflict where affordable housing needs special zoning, and developers only seem to want to build higher-end, more expensive housing or apartments where they can make more money.
Jane, thanks for the call. Brian, what do you see in La Crosse?
Yeah, so I think that's a very important piece to the puzzle, is zoning requirements and also community support as well, and funding, going back to the funding, because a lot of times if you're trying to build affordable housing, it may or may not be profitable for the developers. And developers, even though they want to do their best and help, they also have to maintain their business. So I think all three of those things combining and are what we're trying to address as well. So in my role, I work closely with the planning department for the city of La Crosse. That's actually the kind of direct department that I'm under. So there's a lot of communication that is happening there. Both the city planner and the county planner have been a part of our planning process so far, and I think we'll continue to be a part of that once the plan gets implemented, because make a really great point of that's definitely a factor that can sometimes slow down or be a complicating factor in developing housing. So that's something that we is top of mind and something that we have a plan in place to at least try to address in La Crosse.
The La Crosse Community Foundation is asking for donations to support its overflow winter emergency shelter. Is there typically enough space for people needing a temporary shelter this time of year?
Is there enough space to meet that need?
Mm-hmm.
No, our shelters are full in La Crosse. And when they have an opening, then they get filled up right away. There's 5 or 10 applicants. And so that's part of... A part of the issue, too, is we just don't have enough safe and appropriate spaces, whether that be permanent housing or shelter. And so in La Crosse specifically, like right now, our shelters are full and have been for a long time. And it's hard to get into just because the need is so high. So that's, I think, has been in the past where our community has tried to address that with funding of a hotel for a winter. And the county funded a hotel project 3 years ago. City did 2 years ago. And it's been great. Like that has saved lives. It's important to get people out of those elements. And then we've never been able to snowball that into long-term effects. So yeah, right now, you know, we need more safe, appropriate places for people to be able to go.
People may rely on shelters for clothing and food. And here's 60-year-old Gwen talking about the challenges to finding clothing through area shelters in Madison.
They couldn't find nothing for me in my size. You know what that made me feel like? I'm used to doing without. And I'm the one struggling here. And I hate doing without. I hate it.
What should people donate to a shelter to better support people without housing like Gwen?
I think that's a great question. And I think it's hard to answer like with one blank statement because every shelter or community might be different as far as the access to resources that they have. And so I would recommend reaching out to your local shelter. I know a lot of times clothes are a great option, especially in the winter, you know, blankets, hats, gloves, boots, socks, those things are incredibly important. People go through those, like especially boots, socks, hats and gloves, people can go through those really quickly if they're staying outdoors. So those are always good options and good ideas. And I would recommend if you want the best way to help in your community is to reach out to the shelters or to those organizations because they'll be able to speak directly to what they do or do not have available or what they need more of.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights on La Crosse.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Brian Sampson is Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse. And the morning show here, we're producing a range of conversations about homelessness and housing insecurity. And we need your help. You can find links to recent segments in this ongoing coverage. And you can share all of your program ideas on housing, on homelessness, and other issues. Connect with us at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.